Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjublilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. With me today in the studio for University Matters on Campus FM, Dr. Odette Vassallo. Just a word about my guest. She's a lecturer in English Language Studies here at the University of Malta, where she oversees the department's English Language Proficiency Project and teaches Dialistics, English in Context, Language and the Literary Mind, Learner Corpora, Semantics and Pragmatics. She has teaching and researching interest in applied linguistics. She read for her undergraduate degree at the University of Malta, followed by a PGCE in English. Her interest in the interface of language and literature led her to read for her MA at the University of Nottingham in UK. After completing the degree, she went on to read for her PhD also at Nottingham. Before joining the University of Malta's Department of English, Dr. Vassallo had a career at the University Junior College, where she was teaching and researching in the field of the interface of language and literature. This focus is reflected in her PhD research, in which she looks at an interdisciplinary approach to reading and interpretation, drawing upon stylistics, pedagogy, and second language acquisition. She has delivered papers at conferences and is currently preparing research in Learner Corpora, which is directly related to the English Language Proficiency Project, about which we are going to be speaking. Welcome, Dr. Vassallo.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be speaking about the new Centre for English Language Proficiency, which operates in synergy with the Department of English. Perhaps you could describe what the centre is all about, and then we'll go into why it was felt necessary to actually create such a centre.
The centre was established as an institution of the University of Malta back in 2012, and that was about the time when the project that you referred to earlier was coming to fruition. And it operates in synergy with the Department of English, both in terms of the members who are part of the centre, as well as the way we operate so closely within the department and the philosophy of the department. It seemed that there was an awareness that there were some gaps in the students' use of English at the University of Malta. And some concerns were raised by the different faculties of the university. And so the project was set up, was originally an idea of Professor Dominic Fenech from the Faculty of Arts, who wished to offer the Faculty of Arts students the opportunity to actually try and perhaps improve, consolidate their use of English in view of their assignments, which are most of the time written in English and the language of instruction of this university is English. As a result, I was given the task to lead this project. And so initially it started as a means of promoting English language proficiency among university students, and we started offering support. And the support came in the form of study units. And we operate on two different platforms. We've got study units which are considered extra study units, therefore they are over and above the study units of their own program. And then there are the optional study units. But what we try to do there is try to make the students aware that they do have a background in English. They all have their SEC in English. And some would have their intermediate, some would have their A-level. However, in some cases, when they need to write their assignments, they do forget some of their own knowledge of the language. And so we try to tap into what that knowledge that is already there. and we try to help them gain more confidence in the use of the language. And we attempt to address their attitude towards language, therefore we try to promote a positive attitude towards English by means of creating a non-threatening environment for them. So we're not constantly focusing on their weaknesses. In actual fact, we're focusing on their strengths, building on their strengths. And then as we do that, we do make them aware of their weaknesses and also make them aware of the tools they can use to try and auto-correct. So that is what we try to promote in these units. Now, that's part of the center's remit. And the units have grown from 2 units, which are really units that students volunteer to take, especially the extra study units, which run on a Wednesday and Friday during the degree plus hours, and they run every semester. And then we also expanded by making sure that we offer more advanced units. And these are the optional study units. One of them is English writing skills, and the other one is the basics of public speaking and debating. And these follow on from proficiency in English, which focuses mostly on accuracy and fluency in writing, and English speech fluency. So both of them actually emerge from the first two. The other remit for the centre is to conduct research in language-related areas. And at this point in time, we realise that there is no baseline study for the use of English in Malta. And the place that we went to first was to look at learner English. Therefore, what Maltese students at age 16, 17 and 18 can write in English, what they can produce in English, and we've collected data over the past 3 years of their use of English.
How have you collected the data?
These are written examination scripts, and therefore we are aware that they were written under examination conditions, but that is precisely the point where our students are assessed. So we did want to try and capture those problems that are both a result or could be a result of pressure, time pressure, and at the same time the performance within that time limit being the result of so many years of learning of the English language and the use of the language. So we've collected a sample every year for the past 3 years, and now we do have a corpus of learner English in Malta. And we're considering this as a baseline study, and we're also here opening up the opportunity to all those who are interested in research for second language acquisition, in text analysis and organization of texts and other related areas, to use the data and conduct research. And that has also led us into other research projects. One of them is related to the ESU, the English Speaking Union, who are running themselves a project in one of the state primary schools.
ESU is an independent group of people who are interested in the use of English.
That's right. And they are running a project which is the Arm of Support program. And what they try to focus on is on promoting RSE skills in English with kindergarten children before they are actually exposed to English in a more formal setting. And we were approached to try and see if we can perhaps work out whether we can create a study which might somehow give us an indication of what's happening in Kinder 1 and Kinder 2 with children's use of English. And so the center has recorded a sample of child spoken data and is right now in the final phase of identifying, through the Arm of Support program, some aspects of early language use in Maltese children. So we're at that stage right now where we can very soon be able to make those findings public.
I have a friend who's participating in this project as somebody who's reading the stories to the children. Okay. And she's found it absolutely wonderful, a wonderful experience. And the parents come and they're with the children.
Yes.
And it's part, I gather, that the idea is to also encourage the parents then to read themselves to the children, to their own children in English at home.
That is extremely important, because the more you make the parents aware of the importance of reading, whether it is Maltese or English, reading is so important for children, and they also then will be able to support the children both at home and provide both a positive environment and a positive attitude towards English. And that is what we're trying to promote, and ESU definitely has targeted that, and that's the reason why they include parents and they encourage parents to participate in these activities. So it's a wonderful opportunity that these parents have in this state school.
There are a lot of issues obviously associated with the teaching of English, or English as this global language. Issues that are particular to Malta, but also looking at it from the wider perspective, questions like, you know, why is English so important out there? Why is it considered a global language now? And I had the pleasure of interviewing David Crystal, who is, of course, the guru of English language studies. And I remember being very impressed how relaxed he was about English when we were talking about standards of English. And you get a lot of, even in our own papers, you get people complaining about the standard of English is not what it was, and this kind of thing. And he has a very relaxed attitude towards English. And of course, it is a complicated issue because there's so many different registers, so many different contexts. How are you going to cope with that idea of standards really here in Malta, for example?
So when I mentioned the corpus, if you notice, I also made reference to learner. It's a learner corpus, which means we expect students to have been in a formal setting in a classroom where accuracy and fluency was the main focus, and they should have been learning their grammar rules. And then there is a meta-language awareness. And so in that respect, we can talk about registers, the different registers that they need to be aware of, and they need to be able to switch from one to the other. So in an educational context, accuracy and fluency are of utmost importance. Outside the education environment, where English is present in this country, it is both our past, it's a legacy, and it's our present, because it is used in various contexts and various domains. And it's also our future, because their employability, students' employability, depends on their use and their flexibility, their versatility in being able to use both Maltese and English. Now, there you can talk about standards according to the standard that is adopted within an education context. But outside the school, outside university, how can you measure standards? How can you talk about standards? What is the view? There is a spectrum. There is mutual intelligibility, being able to understand others when they speak English, and the others would understand you when you communicate in English. And then there is the aim for accuracy and fluency, especially if you are in an international context at a conference where you are delivering a paper, and you need to make sure that your message is crystal clear. So we have the spectrum. It is impossible at this point in time in Malta to actually claim that standards have lowered or standards have risen. So, as I said, there is no baseline study for that. Yeah. These are all perceptions. Now, what happens is that as soon as you've got a negative perception, that is, you voice your concern that the standards are lowering, then immediately people feel that they are being judged, that they are being perceived as non-competent users of the language, and they immediately retreat. And perhaps that is where the negative attitude towards English emerges. So what we hope to do, especially with this center, is try to make both the students and the public out there understand that we need to be careful about these perceptions. We need to be careful about the way we judge others. So we need to be aware that there's the spectrum of use of English, and it depends on the context in which it is being used, how much aware you are of both languages and being able to be proficient in both languages, and how you perceive yourself as being proficient or not in both languages. So too many perceptions, no one study to be able to refer to. So we have to watch what we say. And when you consider that in the past, there were actually less people who were exposed to so much English in various forms and different Englishes, and now we have English all around us. So think of numbers as well. If in the past there were the few who were extremely proficient in the language, they are near native speakers or native speakers of the language, and now we have a mix. I'm sure those are still there, but there are so many more now whose variety of English is perhaps different to what is normally perceived as received pronunciation.
Yes, received pronunciation hardly exists even in England anymore. I mean, what is received pronunciation nowadays?
Right.
And interesting to hear recordings of the Queen when she became Queen, 52 or 53, I get my dates wrong, and hearing her speak now, and of course, you know, she would be supposedly the epitome of received pronunciation, but even she has changed her tone, and the rest of the royal family as well.
Absolutely.
And I come from Tunbridge Wells, which is considered a very sort of RP area of southeast England, but I've been here for 40 years, so I'm sure my RP English is mixed in with some direct translations from Maltese, and so definitely not what it was 40 years ago. I was listening to David Crystal in an interview, and he said, we must be honest with ourselves, or we must realise that English is the generally used language now amongst a large proportion of speakers. I can't remember exactly how many. I think he said there are 2 billion speakers of English in the world. Obviously not all speaking the same sort of English. It might not be like that forever. He said 1,000 years ago, if you told the people, listen, Latin is going to drop dead and not be used anymore, then everyone would sort of say, oh gosh, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And but things change, and in a few years, I mean, 500 years, 1,000 years, mm-hmm. it might be Chinese or Mandarin and mm-hmm. or perhaps Spanish, which is the second largest language in the US to take over. But the point is, the fact is now that English is a language that is going to be useful to everybody.
Yes.
And that's what you are trying to put across as an idea.
Yes.
Here in Malta.
Yes.
Now.
Definitely. And that is the reason we're actually starting from our university students, who are obviously going out there. And they are our future. They're our future generation, future leaders of this country. So we need to make sure that they can operate internationally as well, as effectively as they've been doing for the past years. So that is what we're trying to do, yes, both with the studies that we obviously offer within the center, but also through research. And we also look at assisting in language policy implementation. So we are informed by the data that we collect from our own students through the study units. We're informed by the research that we're conducting that extends beyond university borders, but we're also very much aware, we're conscious of what's happening, the changes that are gradually taking shape on this island where English is concerned, and the notion of the bilingual context that we should try to promote in this country, and both languages having official status. So we're also looking at what's happening within the education sphere.
I do find this bilingual attitude quite interesting, because there are places in the world where bilingualism works very well. People speak very good English or whatever language and another language. So the two languages have equal weight and equal expression. And I do know many people in Malta who speak very, very good English and very, very good Maltese. So it really is possible to have a bilingual context,
yes,
with obviously Maltese being the national language, and it's up there as the national language and should remain so. But it certainly is possible to have very good English and very good Maltese. So it needs to be promoted. But what you were saying about policy is important, because at the end of the day, policies are what really make,
yes,
things move. And if we can produce the research to back up those policies, it will make the policymakers in a stronger position to be able to perhaps talk about things in a slightly different way. One of the things that I find fascinating with English is this, going back to the idea of the registers. And I mention it because perhaps it's also part of the problem or the challenge of getting people to recognize those different registers and the boundaries of those different registers. And I'll use an example of my own. When I am writing an email on my iPhone and I forget that I'm writing an email and I think I'm writing an SMS, and I will start using contractions and acronyms, and then I suddenly realize, oh gosh, this is an email, not an SMS. And it's quite complicated now with the media, with this social media as well, to know what you can do or what you should do perhaps, or what is comprehensible in one context but is not comprehensible or even acceptable in another one.
But Patricia, the fact that you are aware that you mix registers when you are writing an email on your mobile phone, you know where the boundaries are. You know when to use which language, where. And that is what we need to try to encourage, because what has happened in recent years with this phenomenon is that, with the phenomenon of obviously social media, is that young people, who are obviously natives of this technology, they are not yet, most of the time, they are not yet aware of these boundaries. Whereas they have not been made aware, or perhaps they don't think they are important. So this is where we need to try and make them see that you need to make a distinction between these different registers. But that is the problem, that very often they don't. And it's emerging as if this is a problem with grammar, a problem with errors of writing, of choice of vocabulary. And perhaps they're sending out the message that they do not have a good range of vocabulary to use in different registers. However, are they aware of it? Are they aware of these boundaries? And that is what we need to clarify in their minds, that there are contexts where English and Maltese are used in a certain way, you adopt a specific register, and other contexts where you have to adopt a different register. So if they become like you, therefore they become aware that they are mixing, and therefore they can go back, check, autocorrect, okay, self-correct actually, because that is what's happening, isn't it? You've got your smartphone that autocorrects for you.
Sometimes in the most curious ways.
Yes. So even that is quite evident. So if you try to show them that there are these different registers and they need to operate within every register in as fluently a way as possible and be accurate in their choices, then obviously their English will not be classified as not good, erroneous, incorrect. So,
and it works, as you said, both in Maltese and in English, of course.
In fact, we did notice, even from discussions that we have with colleagues from the Department of Maltese, that we share the same concerns, basic linguistic skills that seem to be transferable. And very often the problem is also a matter of organization. Students do not organize their thoughts before they write them, or when they write them, they don't go back to them and organize them. And that is one thing that we certainly address when we organize these.
It's always good to reread what you've written.
Absolutely. And the best thing to do is sometimes you don't reread it as soon as you have completed the task, but you give yourself time, you distance yourself in order to review.
Yes, proofing your own stuff is always very difficult.
It's always difficult.
Best to wait 24 hours, put it in the drawer and then go back to it later. Just the last word on spelling, because I think this is a hot issue. I think that the American spellings are coming in very much, and especially if you haven't put British spelling on your default on your computer.
That's right.
But I suppose that this is just perhaps one of the ways that global English is going to change. That the A has been dropped out of medieval now, quite legitimately, and encyclopedia as well, other examples like that. So we'll probably have to...
These changes are bound to happen. I mean, they are inevitable. And even if we did try very hard, and I'm sure there are quite a number of teachers who are trying hard, they are inevitable because the exposure to American English is probably more pronounced than to British English. But what's important is consistency in spelling, Patricia. Consistency is key. So if you adopt the American version, then you need to be consistent throughout.
Very, very good point to make. Well, time has come to an end. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Odette Vassallo, for coming on University Matters to speak to us about the Centre for English Language Proficiency.
Thank you, Patricia.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġju plilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.